Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
They have this panther sound effect that is just the cheesiest, stupidest sounding thing. Big voice guy going, "Panther goal scored by Sam Reinhart."
Where'd you get that thing?
I trapped it. Been keeping it in my bathroom at the motel, feeding it old pizza.
It's Mike Shope.
If you're calm, that wondrous big cat will be calm too. But if you're scared, that beautiful death machine will do what God made it to do, namely, eat you with a smile on its face.
And the Bulldog. On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Alex Tuck, his rights traded to Washington. Farewell, Alex Tuck. Bowen Byram last night traded to Chicago. They're tearing it down.
Starting over.
Finally a good team, and they're tearing it down.
Thompson. Greenway. Tage Thompson's next.
Greenway.
Look out, Thompson.
What about the grit? No. Although somebody's probably there or just worried that there won't be reinforcements. With us now on the West Shore Hotline is not somebody who probably is panicking over the start to this particular phase of the offseason. Chad DeDominicis, expected Buffalo. Am I right in assuming, Chad, that you're not looking at these departures, Tuck and Byram, as panic-inducing moments?
No, not yet. We have a long way to go before people head to their cottages, so we're good for now.
Right. Well, how heavy of a lift do you think there is? I just admitted within the last half an hour or so that I hadn't spent a ton of time thinking about defenseman ideas until we learned that Byram wasn't likely to resign when Kekalainen talked about making him a priority and wanting to commit to him long term. They're like, okay, they're going to keep the band together. The superpower will be intact, but now there's a pretty big hole there. And I don't know. I'm not impressed with the list of guys that are thought to be available. That doesn't mean there aren't better ideas. What do you think about the lift they have to replace Byram?
Yeah, I mean, finding a top four defenseman is never easy. You know, for me, I'm a little bit more familiar because my approach, I think we talked about this before, going into the offseason was getting a little bit more depth behind that in case you didn't get a Byram contract signed or Byram or Samuelson fell back to earth on you a little bit to solidify. Mm-hmm. Now we're in a different situation where you have a hole that you now need to fill. Free agency, you know, there's not a lot of significant options there. The best one seems to be John Carlson, and by all accounts, he's going to be going to Tampa Bay at like 12:01 on July 1st. He's going to be one of those guys. And then beyond that, there's not a lot there. Mm-hmm. There's some guys you can try to make work, and you hope that Owen Power can pull them up, or maybe they just go with Crevier as the guy that, you know, they put into that top four role, and hopefully Power can help, and you're okay. There's a couple guys that got kicked around. Adam Pellick has an idea from the Islanders. I know there's some talk that he could be available because they're pretty full on the left side of their blue line, so maybe he's an option. It's never easy. And then you might get yourself caught in this game of what they tried with Kesselring is, getting a guy who's played mostly third pair minutes, and then you try to scale him to top 4 minutes, and it doesn't always work. And again, maybe Crevier is the guy they're going to try this with because he got some difficult minutes in Chicago, and maybe they think it can work.
How bad do you think the fit must have been with Kesselring for them to move him like they did for 7 spots in the draft, which isn't nothing? I think we talked about this then, even knowing or maybe expecting. I would think that Kekalainen would have had an inkling. He said today he was trying to convince Byram to re-sign all year long. So I doubt that his knowledge of what was likely to happen changed. The fact that they just kicked Kesselring out, despite maybe expecting that they might have to move on Byram, really says a lot about what Kesselring, where his standing was within this team.
Yeah, and Kekalainen talked a little bit about it today. He said that from the Sabres side, they were willing to be a little more patient with it. But from his side, his side being Kesselring's, they wanted a new opportunity. And so be it, that's fine. You know, and I get it. You know, it's a player who's an arbitration eligible restricted free agent. Teams these days don't love getting stuck in arbitration. Going through that, if he gets an award higher than what you'd want to pay, that messes with your salary cap. And then, like he talked about today, then you can't even trade that guy for a certain amount of time, and it becomes, you know, difficult to manage. So
right.
He was in the Lindy Ruff doghouse. He's still going to be your coach. And then he really didn't want to be here anyway. So, you know, why continue? And, you know, they made that move, and I get it. It makes sense for how they handle that.
With Chad DeDominicis, so what's the big conclusion on Byram here after 2 years? Chad, the team took such a leap. We've had conversations with you about him that ranged from, oh my God, to, all right, well, this is playable. I mean, would you look at what they paid for him and what they got out of him and then what they got for him? That seems like a pretty good process.
Yeah, I think all in all, you know, you got to be pretty happy with what you got over the 2.5 years. You know, I think in this year in particular, it didn't start off great, but I think he played well for most of the season. And you say you can even argue maybe he had his best year of his career. So you got that out of him before he left. So, you know, I have nothing bad to say about the player on his way out. I think he was a key part of what they did last season, and he should be commended for that. You know, if they would have kept him for a reasonable contract, I probably would have been okay with it to keep that top four together. But, you know, we're getting up to 10, maybe even $11 million, yeah, seeing where that Blackhawks deal is going to end. You know, I have no business in that for arguably, like we talked about this last time, I think your fourth best defenseman, perhaps, to be paid that much seems a little nutty. So it didn't work. And, you know, to his credit, he wanted to be a number one defenseman. He wanted those top minutes, and he's going to get in Chicago. Best of luck, and he's getting what he asked for, and, you know, we'll see how it goes for him.
Yep. How about how much did the fourth pick being involved in that trade, being a part of the return, and Green, like, did your brain kind of short out last night when you found out Greenway too? I mean, fourth overall for Bowen Byram. I mean, I like this player a lot, and I think he did me. I thought he was their best player in the Boston series myself, and it's just an opinion. But I think he mattered a lot. But still, the fourth overall pick is, I'm just stunned by them getting the value. But at the same time, Chad, I'm a little bit torn because I almost immediately want the fourth pick to become some 25-year-old player who can help them right now.
Yeah, I had to check on it a few times when I heard about it last night. Just this year, first round, fourth overall, yeah. So, I mean, when you listen to the story behind it, why Chicago did what they did, I mean, okay, I mean, I guess I kind of see it from their perspective, but it's still kind of bananas to me. But yeah, the Greenway part, that one really threw me. Like, they're taking a cap dump too. Like, and then when as I'm going through, I'm like, okay, well, 20 is going back. And then when I got the final news of what the full offer was, I was like, oh, they're sold case, so they're keeping their first round pick. All right, so this is awesome. So yeah, I mean, sitting here now, a lot can change. And as you've seen, you know, every year the insiders say this is going to be a crazy summer, and it feels like they actually got it right for once.
Yep.
You know, that. Could the pick move? Maybe. I still think, from listening to Kekalainen today, a little bit of what I know, what they're thinking, they're probably going to make that pick. It also, I think, helps that the draft is in Buffalo, so now they can pick in the top five in their own city. Now, I'm not going to say that was the, you know, driver behind doing this, but it certainly helped. Yeah, you know, I know people probably don't love to hear that, because this is a team who was a shot away from going to the Eastern Conference Final, and you don't want to take a step back. And I'm not saying they're going to, but I still think it's more likely that we would see 20 be moved than four. Now, if they find something, Jason Robertson, something crazy falls on them, then I don't think they're opposed to it. But I would say, sitting here right now, that I think it's more likely than not that they're going to pick at four.
Do you happen to have a draft pick idea that you like the most? I will cop to not paying attention to the top names. Paul said the same thing. We talked to Paul last week when he was at the Combine. It's weird being at the Combine and just talking to players that the Sabres will never get a chance at. Well, maybe that's not true anymore.
Record scratch, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing for me. Like, I usually go to that combine every year, and this year I'm like, they're picking 27th. Like, I have a schedule conflict anyways, whatever, to be fine. And then, okay, we're picking top four. Awesome. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I know a lot about the top five guys. I'm more leaning on people. Chase Reed is the defenseman, is maybe the one I'm most familiar with. I really liked him during the World Juniors this year. 6'2" right side defenseman. You know, there's some things in there that you can question defensively, but I like him. On our site last night was part of the article stuff we put out. Viggo Bjork was somebody that Austin, who's a draft guy on our site, really likes. He's a shorter, smaller centerman, but he's fun. He's very, very good. That could be a good one. But there's Caleb Malhotra if he makes it, but it seems like he's going to Vancouver at 3. Realistically, it's weird. Whenever the Sabres are in this spot at 1, they draft the defenseman. Now they're sitting here at 4, and how the board's going to go, if it's going to be McConnell going 1, and then Steamer going 2, and then Malhotra 3, well, you're going to be sitting there with a bunch of defensemen looking you in the face. So it's going to be Reed, it's going to be Carl, there's a couple other guys. Albert Smith is a guy I like from Austria. Maybe Latvia, one of the two, I can't remember. But, they're going to have a defenseman staring them in the face again, but maybe they do go forward. We'll see.
I came across a kid that played at North Dakota, I believe, in college, Verhoef, who was in the Western League, coached by James Patrick. And I'm trail of breadcrumbs, right? I feel like Patrick and Ruff are probably still very tight. So I would feel like Patrick's probably been chirping in Lindy's ear about this kid, you know, irrespective of the draft or whatever. But they're in a position where they could probably do that if they want to. It might be a little early, but it depends on which projection you're looking at. So like he's 6'4" and said to be a good all around and a good puck mover and all that. So like I wonder about that. I would think they probably have as much background as you could need on a guy if they want it, because of the relationship Ruff has with James Patrick.
Yeah, for sure. There's a lot of guys that can go there, and really I'm not going to be mad at the pick. You know, I know if it's a defenseman, it's kind of an eye roll, like, okay, another high defense pick, but pick your best guy on the board. You look at some of the draft picks they've made in the first round the last few years, it's hard to dispute with them hitting on those picks. So if they think that guy's the best on the board, then, I'm going to believe in that.
Chad, let's pay our respects to Alex Tuch as he leaves for Washington, reportedly, on a sign-and-trade deal. Never seemed to me, or I think to Bulldog, and probably yourself, that the Sabres were, close to keeping him, even if they, wanted to. He meant a lot to what happened here. I mean, I think needless to say, in the last few years. He's an, if not also Byram, but Tuch especially, I think, is an important part of the story.
Yeah, for sure. I'm not going to spin any stories that they're not going to miss him. And not just on the ice, I think off the ice too. I know a lot of players in that room looked up to him, and even some of the guys in their leadership group leaned on him a lot. So that's going to be a big loss, and it's something they're going to have to figure out how they're going to deal with that. They'll have to have internal guys step up and, on and off the ice too. It's not a surprise. A couple of weeks ago, it seemed like we've pretty much, they've exhausted their effort. And, I can say, I know LeBron had a tweet about it too, but I heard they made probably their best offer to him recently, and it just still, didn't get there. And that's when they started exploring the sign and trade that I mentioned a few times here over the last week or so, and, culminated today going to the Capitals, which a little bit of a surprise for me. I thought he was going to go west, but sure. Washington it is. So, you got to figure out a way to replace that for sure. That's production. And you have some guys internally, some younger guys. I would like to get a veteran there to maybe replace that and not just lean so much on younger guys. It's certainly going to be, a big hole for this team to fill outside of that, that defenseman too.
So you've already said you think that they'll pick at 4 rather than put that in something really big here between now and Friday night. Then, I don't know, what Where will they go? Do you think they need to? I feel like the Byram hole's the bigger hole is what I want to say here, because at least the forwards, I'm not eager to just say let the kids do it either. I'd like to have a man that can grow a beard replace Alex Tuch. But there are at least reasonable candidates, I think, that you could hope could do the job slash expect, whereas on D, they just don't have a ready-made dude at all, really, you know, unless Mertka hit some sort of accelerator in his development, which I've not heard anything about. I think that's the bigger hole. So, like, I don't know. Is it – how armed and ready are they to do that? You said 20 maybe is you know, a good asset anyway, and maybe they can do that. Do you think they have a big move in them is basically what I'm trying to ask you here.
Yeah, I think they got one more. What that's going to be is going to be difficult. I agree with you that I think the defenseman is a little bit more difficult to replace, and that'll probably have to be in the trade market. I mean, for forward, there's not a lot of great free agent options, but if you wanted to dip into it, you can. There's Zuccarello, there's, you know, some other guys. If you wanted to go there for a year to kind of pull you along, you could find that too. That won't kill you on the cap. You know, there's some options there from a free agent standpoint at forward. But yeah, defenseman, they're probably going to have to make a trade. I think they can, you know, I don't want to be crazy in a sense, but really I think they could do whatever they wanted. They have the assets to be able to play in any sort of game as long as a player wants to come here, of course. Mm-hmm. They can get any conversation they want. So, you know, we'll see. It's hard for me right now to box them into what I think they're going to do. And I think you're right. They have nothing behind them. And Mertka for sure isn't an option there. I wonder if they pick a defenseman in the top five that makes Mertka more tradable. I mean, they basically almost traded them twice at the deadline. So right. I wouldn't be surprised if they do that again here. I mean, they have the pieces to really do whatever they like. And I'm confident they're going to do one more, whether that's a forward, a defenseman, or even a goaltender. It's hard to pigeonhole them right now to figure out where they're going to go.
There's been some chatter today connecting them to Vincent Trocheck of the Rangers. I'm not sure. I feel like that's a Ryan McLeod, Sam Carrick spot. I guess you could divest yourself of McLeod, I suppose. I don't really see a fit there. Do you?
No, I think you're going to pay a lot for duplicating skill set.
Right.
No, he's just not the guy he was a few years ago. There's still a few years on that contract. I don't remember how old he is exactly, but the production was there this year with the Rangers, so I get that part of it. But just, I don't know, am I going to pay a hefty price for a guy that only thing different he gives me than what I have is he wins more faceoffs? Like, I don't think it's worth to pay enough for it. I think you're then, I don't know, you're pigeonholing into a weird spot, and I'm certainly not going to give up McLeod to get him. I think McLeod's, you know, better suited for this team than Trocheck would be. I have significant concerns about his foot speed slowing down in this system on this team. So I hope that's not what their plan is.
Same here. Really, yeah.
That's a bad idea.
32 years old, 5.625 runs through 2029. That's the contract there. So I'm a hard no on that.
Okay.
Yeah, same for me. I never really liked that idea in the beginning when it was brought up.
Couple of quick ones if you have time, Chad. What about goaltending? What do you think they want to do? Leave it alone?
It's tough. Listening to Kekalainen today, you would say that they're probably going to leave it, but I don't know if he's just playing the game or he's really okay with that.
Yeah.
I know that they were on Hellebuck a little bit, or at least had discussions. It's possible they had discussions and then it's nope, not going to be able to do that. And, you know, they decided they're just going to keep their goaltender. That's very possible. Things can change. I think I'll sit with, they're probably just going to go with their group they have, sitting here right now. And I'm okay with that. You know, we've had conversations on that. I'm fine. I don't need to pay the big assets. I mean, the argument I could make for it now that I touched about in the article I did when we knew Byram was going, well, if you can't replace Byram and you can't replace Tuch, what is one thing you can do? Well, you can get one of the best goaltenders in the league to kind of cover up some of those holes for you. So that's the way to get around it. So I could understand that logic of it, but you know, we'll see. It again kind of seems like if Hellebuck's going to go, you know, Florida's back in this now that it's going to be, oh, okay. So he's going to end up going to one of those three teams that all these American guys want to go to at the end of the day. So,
right.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, the way you described the goalie move, if there were to be one, is kind of how I hope they are viewing it. Like, can't do this, can't do that. Well, we got to do something. Well, you know, we're a couple. Okay, let's do that then. And I know that's not a great process, and of course they would never tell us that was actually the process, but yeah. I would hope that they are prioritizing the skaters more than the replacing the skaters more than the goaltending myself. So.
I agree.
Chad, one more for me. Kekalainen, just in general, your experience covering him, writing about him, and just watching the changes with the Sabres in the last year or so, I mean, I'm ready to devote with this. I love the sort of his persona, and I mean, he's active, and we have this. Yeah. Here's Bowen Byram, who was excellent on a team that just shocked everybody and restored the Sabres' dignity, if you will. And like, okay, he's gone. I mean, I respect that. I know there were reasons. So, and he wasn't my favorite player anyway, as we talked about, but. What is your vibe on Yarmo?
Yeah, very straightforward. He'll tell you what he's thinking. That was always the kind of the vibe I got from talking to people in Columbus, even when they hired him as the advisor. He will tell you what he thinks. He will tell the players what he thinks. And we're seeing that play out. I mean, I think we've seen that today on Tuck and Byram. He was very honest on both of those situations. So that's always good, because then you can really know what he's thinking. He's not, and that's why I get away from the, I don't know if he's really playing the game on goalies, because he doesn't do that. He just tells you what he thinks. So yeah, that's good, and he's going to take his chances. He's going to take his swings. You know, you're not always going to hit a home run, like maybe he did with Byram. He might take a big swing, and it might not work out, but, you know, I'd rather take those cuts than kind of sitting on your hands and hoping and praying you get some, you know, money ball stuff to work for you. So.
Right.
I think it kind of cuts both ways. I think he's a very analytical guy too. So I know that plays to my, you know, side of things, of course, which is good. I think he truly is trying to look at this team in the short term, in the long term vision. Because you remember a lot of, you know, last season when he talked, he always said, yeah, this team is doing well, but he always threw it in. There's still a long way to go.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's trying to take that look too. Maybe the Byram thing is part of that. We're gonna do a move for the future, but we're also gonna be gonna use some of these assets to improve in the short term too. So I think we'll see that.
You just alluded to, like, maybe Hellebuck ends up in Florida, and you know, on one of the three teams that all these American guys want to end up on. How much of a problem, if any, do you think the league has in this department? With guys, like, you know, calling their shots. I mean, this is how, you know, the NBA and the NFL have worked like this for many years. Hockey players generally stay in their lane, but I think once they started peeking their heads up and, you know, forcing things, I think they realized the fallout's not that hard to live with. And it really, maybe it doesn't even exist, only in the city that you've spurned, right? So I get it and I understand it, but, I mean, as a hockey fan, we had a call early this week after the Tkachuk thing. Like, do we have a problem now? Like, is Florida just going to get all the good guys? I mean, I know there's limitations to it, but I feel like if Hellebuck were to end up there on top of what happened with Tkachuk, a lot of hockey fans and a lot of markets are going to be raising their hands going, like, what are we doing here?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and the thing we're going to see after the draft is what happens with Werenski, too. That's going to be another one.
Right.
You know, I think Pandora's out of the box a little bit with the trade protection that happened a few years ago. Like, everybody gets it now. The NHL GMs kind of put themselves in that position. Yep. To give the players so much power to dictate where they want to go. The rising cap is now contributing to that, because now everybody has cap space. Where before, it's like, I don't know, how is Vegas going to fit this guy in? They have to put three guys on long-term injury reserve. And it's not a thing anymore teams have to do. They have the cap space to make it work. I think we're headed towards an issue. I think it's going to be interesting which side decides they're going to run things. Do the GMs get together and say, we're going to stop letting the inmates run the asylum and not so much you know, fold to these requests, but, you know, how is that going to look for you if you don't have your players? And I don't know. It's tough. The NBA found their way out of it eventually. So maybe it's just a period we kind of got to sit here and just let it play out. But yeah, I mean, it's beyond those guys. You know, you got Berensky, you got Matthews next year potentially, and, you know, thank goodness the Sabres made the playoffs, or we'll probably be having a Tage conversation right now too.
Right.
So, you know, we'll see how it goes.
Chad DeDomenicis expected Buffalo for all the best on the latest with these trade rumors and moves the Sabres are making. Who's coming up on the farm from Rochester? All of it. It's a great site. Chad, thanks for your time as always. Enjoy draft weekend.
Yes, thanks. You too, guys.
Thank you. Chad DeDomenicis right there on the West Her Hotline. Paul Hamilton coming up at 5. Mike Schopen and the Bulldog here. What are your thoughts? Bowen Byram traded. So too Alex Tuch, who we didn't really expect back, but now that seems official.
Right. Third round pick coming back, by the way, which is pretty good by those standards. Yeah.
Lines open for your calls. This is WGR.
Right now, I've told all the teams that have inquired about number 4 pick that we're just going to listen for now, take notes, and see what they think is the value of number 4. We value that very highly, obviously, ourselves. We know there's a great prospect available there. That's going to be 2-3 years away, or maybe even more, before they can make an impact on our team. We want to keep getting better as a team. We had an exciting year, but still disappointing at the end, but we'll gather that information around the league and see what the value is. And, you know, if we don't think it's as much as making the pick, then we'll make the pick.
You can and you will. You can and you will. He looks at you, and I think you give him what he wants.
I hope these are Zoom calls.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you have to see his face.
Yep.
When he's talking. You can't not appreciate the importance of sort of human dynamics. Just knowing how to get people to sign on the line which is dotted. I'm optimistic here about this guy. It feels like he has some good traits. Alex Tuch did all right. We talked about him for about a year. What's the future going to hold? The Sabres got good, and in the process had a small fleet of young players where you might have felt at peace with losing Tuch in free agency. As it went on, it seemed more likely that that would happen, and now it's over. Washington, 8 times 10.5, $84 million. So he just made $84 million today.
Yeah. I thought he'd do better than that, but that was on a presumed 7-year deal once you got past July 1st. I guess, the 11 by 7 or 11 and a half or even 12 by 7 is not that far off of what he ended up with, because he got the 8 years. So the 10 and a half is probably going to work out just fine for him. And I want to, two days in a row with Washington. I mean, they are, I assume, leaning into, we'll get one more year of Ovechkin here and let's make it count. Because Kyrou is, to me, off a down year still. A 30 goal, like that's a top line player. And Tuch certainly, I think, for the short term can still be that. So they've remade their top end here pretty quickly, Washington. And I'm already sort of, I'm not depressed, okay? But, like, I'm starting to feel more and more like they probably aren't going to do everything. They're probably not going to be able to find their way to replacing Tuch with a veteran and Byram with a veteran. Maybe that's still out there. I don't know. But, and I feel already kind of bad about that. Because that's what I wanted to see happen.
You wanted one of them at least to turn into somebody else.
I thought Byram for Nyes, right? Turn Byram into your Tuch replacement and then go find a defenseman. I've got one problem. Now I've got two. I mean, I have the fourth pick in the draft, and that is a tremendous asset. But I don't feel like the fourth pick in the draft is worth the fourth pick in the draft to a team that should be trying to win the Stanley Cup, if that makes sense. Yeah, I mean, I it's just not as valuable to me looking at it as you would look at it objectively. It's the fourth pick in the draft. I'll probably get a very good, maybe the great top line, top pair player there. Okay, when's he going to help me win the Stanley Cup? When Tage Thompson ages out? Like when is it going to happen? I mean, that's an exaggeration. He's got a lot of years left still. But I need something now. And now I need two somethings. And I'm going to end up just going, okay, well, maybe Helenius can do it. Okay. And I didn't want to end up there. That could still work. And I got to remember that. But I'm already sort of rationalizing, like, well, that could work. And we haven't even gotten to the draft. And I'm sort of feeling this is maybe the old Sabres creeping. And I need you to talk Kekalainen up some more to get me back into, like, okay, they could still do something really huge here.
How much more can I say?
I know.
I'm already...
I need the whole speech again, I guess, eventually. Not right now. It's okay.
I've said a lot.
I'm just reluctant to, like, take a victory lap with Kekalainen for trading Byram away and getting a third-round pick in a sign-and-trade for Tuck. You know, I'm going to need... I'm not trying to be impatient. It's just that I feel like I'm seeing the horizon a little bit more now, and I don't know. It might be hard to do both things.
It's not a win until it's a win. It's not a
right
success until you get something... what you're saying, get something more out of it for the present. I mean, I think the upside case you would not need to have explained to you. It's that your young forwards can do the job and that even perhaps Tuck hit a wall. I mean, I'm not going to root against the guy, but I'm very curious to see mm-hmm. how many good years he still has. I think they were both, Tuck and Byram, excellent against Boston and not excellent against the Canadiens.
Totally agree.
And the last image I have of Tuck is him getting walked at the game I was at in Game 5 by Hudson.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On the goal that basically made it Montreal's game. Not that that's fair to Tuck. I mean, he had many great moments for the Sabres, but not in that series. So that you can believe that, I think it's plausible that they have enough up front with somebody else will come in. I mean,
yeah.
Whatever that is. I don't mean by the fourth pick. And then defensively, they make it work with their big three and can get by replacing a player who was uneven. You know, I think that's not too harsh when it comes to Byram. So
I think it is for last year. I don't think he was uneven at all. I mean, I think he had every bit as much to do with what they did from that blue line as the other three guys.
Okay.
So I think his career has been uneven, but
well, he's the fourth best of them.
Yeah, I agree. But that doesn't make him easy to replace. So I just don't know where they're gonna find that guy. I trust that they will find a guy. I'm sure they know that they don't have a replacement in house. They would have known that when they made this trade. So I'm sure they're working on stuff. I'm sort of starting to feel like I'm going to just be with, okay, which one of the kids is going to score 30 goals this year? And I didn't want to end up there. I wanted to end up that where if one of the kids is ready to score 30 goals, then I got to make room for him. Okay, I'll react to that. But I don't think it's a plan to say one of them is going to break through like that because we just don't know. You can't know. I mean, you can love the skill sets and love the chemistry or whatever it is, but you just don't know that they're going to be hold up to it. I mean, none of them. Kulik hasn't played in a year almost, and Osland and Helenius both hardly proved that they are up to 3 to 4 games a week in the NHL. I mean, they looked good in very small samples. And that, to me, that's not proof enough to say I can count on it, you know? And I know, like, nothing in sports is for certain. Oh, there's a lot of speculation that comes with it. But I feel like I just don't know. I don't really know yet what I've got there. I've got, it's exciting. There's potential, and it could all be fine. But I'm just a little leery of ending up on, all right, let the 20-year-olds do it.
They did add a defenseman in the Byram trade.
That's right.
Louis Crevier.
I think he's a nice, I think, third pair guy, I think. Did play some top four last year. Chad even mentioned, like, maybe they end up there. That's also, to me, very risky. But I'm interested to see what he looks like. For anybody who's getting lost in the idea of having 6'8 Crevier and 6'7 Logan Stanley, you should be reminded Stanley is a free agent, and I don't think he's in the plans.
Stanley's up. Shen is out.
Yep.
Metsa is still here. Timmons is still here.
Yep.
And now Crevier, 25, a young 25.
Yep.
6'8".
Big shot. 100-mile-an-hour, most 100-mile-an-hour shots in the league this year? I think I read.
Does he have to hit the net for those to count?
Great question.
Can I just shoot it at the boards, final 10 seconds of a game and get credit for 100-mile-an-hour shot?
I feel like I wonder. 100-mile-an-hour shots don't maybe have to be 100-mile-an-hour shots on goal, because that's not how they're phrased, and I don't want to assume that it means that they were on goal.
Still good, though.
Still good. It's a power. It's a big – it's a weapon.
It's a weapon. Bisons lose in Iowa, 18-11. Wow. To score 11 and get blown out.
Right.
But before I knew that, I was eager to bring up the Bisons because last night they won a game that they trailed after 8.
Oh, look at that.
Tied it in the 9th, won it in the 10th. Also a high-scoring game. But momentum, I guess, didn't really help. Whatever the good vibes were after coming back to win.
Yeah.
Didn't really help him through today. Shockingly, that didn't really work.
It's too bad.
So, 18-11 Iowa today. Paul Hamilton coming up at 5. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR.